Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'a Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Chof Ches. The Mishnah on the deals with weighing portions of meat. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, topic heading, Shkilas v'chalukas boser b'yomtov, the weighing and dividing out of meat on yomtov, Shelo yehei ka'uvdo t'chol. We're trying to avoid the appearance of activity that you would do during an ordinary weekday. It appears that this Mishnah, in effect, is a continuation of that which we saw at the Mishnah at the end of Daf Chof Zayin Omid Beis, where it discussed how a person on Yom Tov can acquire a portion of meat without mentioning the actual money of the money value, because commercial activity on Yom Tov is something that is prohibited. On the other hand, one is allowed to acquire food that's related to Yom Tov, and the Mishnah there gave us an Eitzah of how to do it, and the Gemara elaborated on that. This Mishnah is also in the same vein in terms of commercial type activities, and we want to avoid them. Besides the very next Mishnah, the middle of Daf Chof Ches, which deals with the sharpening of knives, the Mishnah after this on Daf Chof Ches at the bottom, as well as the Mishnah that's found on Daf Chof Tes, deal in general terms with this topic of weights and measures and different activities that we curtail on Yom Tov because of the mundane weekday appearance that they create. So with that general picture in mind, let us start the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shokel Odom Bosor Keneged Hakli O Keneged HaKupitz. When one is weighing meat, someone who is selling meat on Yom Tov, so he can't weigh it in the normal fashion that he would during the weekday. And here the Mishnah deals with a balance scale, where ordinarily you would put the quantity of meat on one side and a known weight. Usually it was an iron or a lead weight with a number of the weight on it, something that maybe some of you have seen in real life or at least in pictures, a balance scale. So what can one do? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can put the meat that you want to sell on one side, and a vessel, a kli or a kupitz is a special knife, a cutting knife or a hatchet that's used for chopping meat. And the weight of that item was known, so that he would be giving a person a known amount of weight, but avoiding the appearance of it looking like something he would do during the week. During the week, he would use a formal weight. The Chachomim Omrim Ein Mashgichin Bekaf Moznayim Kol Ikir. The Chachomim say one doesn't look into a balance scale whatsoever. We don't use scales on Yom Tov. The Gemara asks, my Kol Ikir. The Chachomim in the Mishnah, if all they were trying to tell me is that the use of the balance scale is forbidden, just say Vachomim Osrim. What is the elaborate expression of Ein Mashgichin B'kaf Mozaim Kol Ikur coming to add? What is coming to reveal? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. You'll notice we have a geometric form, and under our Mivneh heading, you see the triangle is featured, and we say there's a Sidra, Shel Memros, Shel Shmuel. These are a series of comments made by Shmuel, and we feature them in triangles. So Rav Yonah Mar Shmuel says, "Afilu l'shomro min ha'chaborim." Means you can't use the scale even for matters that are not weight related. You can't use it to be a storage place for your for items either. You can't, let's say, put your meat on the on this on the balance scale simply to keep it away from the mice. Omer of Evi Bar Oven v'hu detalya betrita. The restriction that Shmuel just made is only if the scale is in a position to be used. Now, literally, talya, it means it's suspended. Betrita, betrita is a ring that's attached to a ceiling from which the balance scale is suspended. So only if the balance scale is already in position to be used for weighing. So Shmuel is telling you, you can't use it even for non-weighing purposes. Can't use it for whatsoever. The Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Tabuch Uman, a professional butcher who knows the weight of items just by feel. In other words, by just by picking something up, he'll know the weight. So, Tabuch Uman Osur Lishkol Bosor Biyad. Rashi says, Tabuch Uman Shiyodeh Lichavin Mishkal Keneged Mishkal Biyodov. He can take a weight in one hand and meat in the other and work as a human balance scale. So he cannot do that, to hold a weight in one hand and the meat in the other. V'omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tabuch Uman Osir Lishkol Bosor B'mayim. In one word, this is called displacement. What that means is that we have a vessel that has notches on the side, little marks on the side, and when meat is placed into this vessel, the water, naturally, because the meat has its own mass, will push the water level in the vessel up. And on a weekday, this the vessel has already been pre-designed in the sense that meat with a known weight was put into the vessel and a mark was drawn at the side, on the side of the vessel. This is reminiscent of many people's measuring cups. We have a glass cup and on the side are letters or little lines indicating the amount that's in there. In this case, let us say, for example, a person put a pound of meat into the vessel with a known amount of water in it, and the pound of meat forced the water level up a certain level. A little line was drawn in on the side of the vessel indicating that this is the level to which the water will rise when you place a pound of meat in there. Then another line was drawn where 2 pounds of meat would cause the water to rise. So that is what's meant here by it's also lishkol boso b'mayim. The Rashi makes reference to uses a term shinsos. Shinsos are the little notches that are etched on the side of the vessel, indicating the weight of the meat in the water and the resultant displacement of the water, the increased water level. The Omar, we continue in the Gemara, the Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Osir Lasos Beis Yad Bebosar. It is Osir to make a, Beis Yad is literally a handle. This means if you have a slab of meat and you want to carry the slab of meat home, so a hole was made in the meat, and you would hold the meat that way. So the Gemara says it's also to make that hole on Yom Tov. That is again something called derech hole. It's a weekday looking thing. Omar Ravina uvi yado shorig. However, if you use your hand to create the hole in the slab of meat, that's okay. That's not derech hole. That's not a weekday style of making holes. But using a knife to create the hole is not allowed, because that's what people used to do when buying meat and carrying it home. They would take a knife, hollow out a hole in the meat, and people would carry it home from the store that way. So on Yom Tov, what we're trying to do is do things b'shinui, in a way that's different during that you would do ordinarily, to create a heker, that a heker, something something recognizable, noticeable, that standard business is forbidden on Yom Tov. Omar Rav Huna, mutar lasos simin v'basar. It is mutar to make a mark or a sign in the meat, so that what you ordered should not be confused with someone else's. Rashi says simin v'basar shelo yachlifehu hanoso, that the person who's carrying it home shouldn't confuse it with someone else's meat. Kiha de rabo, Rashi, the Gemara goes on, Kiha de rabo barav huna mechatech lo atlas karnasa. And people who appreciate fine art, you can see in Rashi a picture of what the Gemara just described. We would call it a triangle. What the rabo would used to have done was that the meat that he ordered was cut in a triangular shape. That's tlas karnaso. Tlas is three karnas or corners. Three corners, three angles, a triangle. So that when someone from his household would go to the butcher shop and see a triangular slab of meat, they would know that is Rabo Barav Huna's meat. Rav Chia v'Rav Shimon Barabi shoiklin mono keneged mono biyomtov. That means that in weighing meat out, they would place one portion of meat with a known weight on one side of a balance scale, and on the other side they would place the other slab of meat, and they would thereby know that if it balances out, they would then know the weight of the unknown piece of meat. The Rashi adds some very important information. Rabbi Chiyov, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, the information here will be necessary for the Gemara later on. In fact, we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text here and further down where this information will be important. So Rashi says here, right under the triangle in the Rashi, the Dibur Maslo Rabbi Chiyov, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, Ksheholkin Boser Beinehem, when they would split meat, when they would divide meat amongst them, hoyu shoiklin oisa mono kenegin mono biyom tov. The idea here is they would, when they were dividing meat between themselves, they would take portions of meat. One would put a portion on one side, the other would put a portion on the other side, and they would divide it equally in that way. So according to Rashi, the pshat is a little different than that which we said before. Simply, they would put equal amounts of meat on both sides of the balance scale, and when it would balance out, so that each one would take their respective portions. Keman, the Gemara asks, according to whom is this done? Lo kerebi Yehuda, v'lo kerabonan. And notice the question is a long question. It takes a few lines to develop this. This practice of theirs doesn't seem to conform to any tanoim, not like Rebbe Yehuda, nor like the rabbonan. E kerebi Yehuda ha'omar. If we were going like Rebbe Yehuda, but he said shoykel adam bosar keneged hakli o keneged akupitz, that when you want to weigh meat on Yom Tov, so you can use a balance scale and you put on one side a vessel, and the Gemara is medaye keneged akli in keneged midi achrin olo, using a vessel, yes, but using something else like we just said, like they did meat, no. In other words, the way to make it look non-mundane, non-weekday-like, is by putting a vessel on one side of the balance scale. Not using two portions of meat, one opposite the other. E kerabonan, hor amri ein mashgichin, bekaf moznayim kolikar. And if they were like the Rabbanan, they wouldn't be using a balanced scale whatsoever. The Gemara responds, Inhu the Ovud Kerebi Yoshua. Their practice of putting meat on both sides of a balance scale is like the Tano Rebbe Yeshua, who appears in a different context, but they are trying to adopt his approach from the other context, which is specifically the case of Bechor, firstborn meat, firstborn animal meat, which has restrictions we'll get to in a minute, but structurally, Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Rebbe were following Reb Yeshua's approach. Desanya, Reb Yeshua Omer, Shoiklin Mono Keneged, Mono B'Yom Tov. Reb Yeshua says that you can weigh a Mono Keneged Mono, that's a portion on one side and a portion on the other side, of a balance scale. On Yom Tov. Omar of Yosef, halacha k'Reb Yeshua, the halacha follows Reb Yeshua, hayul utnan b'vachoros kavosei. Since we have learned in Maseches Bechoros, and with regard to Bechoros, firstborn male animals, like him. Now, we spoke at length in our previous year about Bechoros, so we're not going to elaborate on that too much now, other than a firstborn male animal is sanctified by its very birth, but if it develops a blemish, it can then be slaughtered by the Kohen to whom it's given outside the Beis HaMikdash. And that halacha has relevance even nowadays when a Bechor comes into the picture. When it's born, it has sanctity until it develops the blemish, when its sanctity level is reduced. Now there's a Rashi that introduces the topic as well. Dibur HaMaskil, a few lines down from here, Hayul Utnan B'Bechoros Kavasei. Rashi says, the Osir Lishko V'Limkor Bechor Ba'amum Sheshachtoi Kohen Belitra. A Kohen who receives the blemished firstborn animal is not allowed to weigh it out in the standard weighing fashion using a litra. A litra is a weight on one side of the balance scale and the meat on the other side. So Shelo Laso is Maisa Choil Bekotchim. The reason for this is to avoid treating items that have sanctity to them like you would treat mundane common meat. The Bizoyinhu, it's disparaging. The Kotoni, and it teaches the Mona Keneged Mona, that weighing portion, opposite portion. And here, Rashi uses the description of the meat on both sides of the basket, like we said before, because in this case, V'yodea kama mishkol rishona, a person is putting on one side of the balance scale a piece of meat whose weight he knows to begin with. V'shoykel kenegdo, and he places the bechor meat on the other side of the balance scale. That's mutter. Alma, what do we see from here? Lav uvda dechil chashiv lei. Measuring out or weighing out meat in this fashion is not considered mundane, because if it was, it wouldn't be allowed to do it in the case of Bechor meat sales. So that is hopefully clear, so that we see that this Mona Keneged Mona approach to pieces of meat on both sides of the balance scale is not considered mundane, weekday-like, and hence, just like it's mutter in the case of Bechor meat sales, it is mutter on Yom Tov as well. So we're drawing a parallel between the sanctity assigned to Bechor meat to the sanctity of a holiday. Let us continue in the Gemara. Rav Yosef rules, therefore, like Rabbi Yehoshua, and based on them, we said Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe behaved. And the Gemara says the halachas like Rabbi Yeshua hayul utnan bevechoros kavosei desnan. Since we have a Tanaic source regarding bechoros, it says psule hamukdashim and also in the hegdish v'shoiklin mono keneged mono bevechor. The first part of this Tanaic source is a broad topic in and of itself. It deals with the with sacrifices in general that became unfit. They're psulei hamikdashim. When they are redeemed, so the money value is used for buying other sacrifices offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Not so in the case of a Bechor. Bechor cannot be redeemed. However, it can be sold, provided the sale of the Bechor meat is done in an unusual fashion. It's not sold in a butcher shop, and it's, as this source says, which is important for us, and that's why we have to focus only at the end of this source, v'shoiklin mona keneged mona b'vachor, which means you're putting meat on one side of a balance scale with a known weight, and the b'chor meat on the other side, and when they balance, you know how much is the weight of the b'chor meat, and the kohen can sell that from his home, and thereby preserve the dignity of the b'chor meat. Omale Abaye Vidilma Lohi. Abaye challenges Rav Yosef and says that maybe not so. Maybe the parallel that you're trying to make between the sanctity of Bechor with the sanctity of the holiday is not a real parallel. And you can see that we have a double underline which highlights the expression Ad Kan, which is going to show the differences between the Bechor and the holiday, and why only in one case might I accept mona keneged mona, but not in the other case. So we're going to look at it from both sides, the Bechor side of things and the Yom Tov side of things. So Abaye continues, V'dilma lohi, maybe the parallel is not so. Ad kan lo kom Rabbi Yeshua hacha. It could be that Rabbi Yeshua was lenient over here by Bechor, elo deleko bizoyon kachim. Because through this we were avoiding the disparagement of holy meat, the Bechor. Aval hasam, in te'ika bizoyon kachim, lo. We take a look at the Rashi, and we should point out, by the way, let's correct ourselves. We must correct us. We just made a mistake, and that is Rav Yoshua himself spoke in the context of Yom Tov, and we misread the word Hocha, meaning here by Bechor. It meant here on Yom Tov when there isn't an issue of Bizoyon Kachim. It's just a question of the sanctity of the holiday, but not the actual meat that was being weighed out. So in here in Yom Tov, when we don't encounter a problem of kodshim disparagement, so Rabbi Yoshua allows you to do mona kenegin mona. However, there in the case of Bechor, where there's a factor called bizoyon kodshim, which you want to put it on a higher plane, it's certainly a different realm, and it's a function of honor accorded to the meat itself. So maybe Rabbi Yeshua would not be so lenient. And there, where there's Bizoyon Kachim involved, he would not allow Mona Keneged Mona. Inami, alternatively, Ad Kan Lo Kamri Rabbonon Hasam, it could be that the Rabbonon who allowed Mona Keneged Mona by the Bechor, Elo Mishum De Lo Mechsi Kuvdin Dechol, because it doesn't look like a mundane activity. It's not the normal way of selling things by weighing the meat out mono keneged mono, and therefore it's mutter. Aval hocha, the mechsi keuvdin dechol, but here on Yom Tov, where meat is being divided out, it looks like something of a weekday nature, keuvdin dechol, like the way of the weekday. Lo, the Rabbonon would not be Mekil with regard to Yom Tov. Let's take a look at the Rashi, in the wide lines under the Gemara text, about halfway down those wide lines. Ad Kan is an abbreviated expression, Ayin Chof is Ad Kan Lo Ko'amri Rabbonon Hosam. The Rabbonon were lenient in the case of the Bechor weighing, Elo Delo Ovid Maisi Dechoyl. He isn't doing a weekday action. The Hosam Mechirahi. There was an issue of sale. V'ein derech lishkol basar hanimkar b'mona keneged mona. It's not the normal way to sell meat of sales in that fashion of putting one on one side of the balance scale a known weight of meat and another piece of meat on the other side of the balance scale. Aval hocha gabi Rabbi Chiyov Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbi. But in the story involving those two figures, they were dividing meat between themselves. Ko avdi uvdin dechol deho chalukahi. That's not. They were not engaged in sales. They were engaged in dividing portions. The chen derech kol acholkelim. When people have a pile of meat and they want to divide it amongst themselves, this is the normal way of doing it. Velo sviro luhu l'rabbon l'becharos, Rabbi Yeshua. The rabbonon from Becharos would not accept Rabbi Yeshua as a method of dividing meat out on Yom Tov. So Rashi makes a very clear distinction between two activities. When it comes to mechira, when it comes to sales, which is what the topic was in the case of the Bechor, this is not the normal way of selling meat. However, when dividing meat between two people, this of mona keneged mona is the normal way of doing it, and therefore it should be avoided on Yom Tov. As we mentioned earlier, you notice an arrow that appears now to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. This points to the line above, where there's also an arrow, where Reb Chiyo and Reb Shimon bar Rebbi were featured in dividing meat equally between themselves. It would appear from this story that, although they may have been friendly, they were very concerned that neither one should get more than the other. The expression for that kind of situation is kapdi, makbid. Makbid is a term referring to something that's unyielding, non-compromising, and in this context, a concern that each one gets the same amount. So the Gemara asks, Lameimra de kapti ahadodi, from the story above, are we to suggest that they were makbid one on the other? Faha hanohu shev benisa. There is an incident, a story involving shev is seven, benisa fish. Seven fish, the Asulabei Rebbe, that were delivered to the house of Rebbe. Rebbe, note, was the father of Reb Shimon Rebbe, Rebbe Chiyo's friend. So seven fish were delivered to Rebbe's house. Vishtanka chomesh minayu bei Rebbe Chiyo. And at the end of the day, five of those seven fish were found in the possession of Rebbe Chiyo. Velo kopid Reb Shimon bar Rebbe. And didn't Rebbe Shimon wasn't upset by that, didn't claim, hey, how could he get five of the fish that arrived in my father's house? So it was quite yielding, quite forgiving, if you will. So it seems out of character that in dividing meat, they were using a balance scale to make sure that each one got the same amount. The Gemara says, that's a good point. Amar Rav Papa, therefore, Rav Papa says, Shodi Gavra Banayu. Literally, place another man between them. Namely, in the original story, it wasn't involving, like we thought, Rabbi Chiyo and Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, but rather, it involved those two individuals, but not together. Rather, Rabbi Chiyo, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rebbe Yossi. If Rabbi Chiyo was in the original story where the first arrow was, if Rabbi Chiyo was part of the story, then the gentleman opposite him was Rabbi Shmuel bar Rebbe Yossi, not Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe. E Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, and if the original story in fact involved Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe and not Rabbi Chiyo, so then it was Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe ubar kapora, and those two then were dividing the meat equally between them. This Mishnah gets off the topic in a sense that it's not dealing directly with business related or commercial type activities, but it is involved, it's associated with the whole idea of doing things b'shinui. So the Mishnah says, Ein mashchizim es asakin b'yom tov. Avu masio al gabi chaverta. Now, here we're going to translate, and we'll see how the Gemara unfolds with different ways of understanding the matters in hand. The translation is, Ein mashchizim, one does not sharpen a knife on Yom Tov, but he, masia, is he will rub one knife on the other, chavert, on the other knives. In other words, to rub two knives together. What is he accomplishing in doing that? We'll have to see more about this in the Gemara. So on the side of our Daf Gemara, we have our Nosei topic heading, 2 points, Aleph, Hashchoza Sakin, that has to do with the sharpening of a knife, and Beis, Havoras Shamnunis Me'olah, the removal of fats that accumulate on a knife. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice there's quite a bit of marking activity, and we have to explain the different markings. So, under the Mivneh heading, you can see a double underline that appears in the Gemara. It's not the immediate first marking, but it's our explanation. We feature first is the double underline, Reb Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Omar. He said, number one, Osur L'chadeid, there is a prohibition of sharpening, mutter lahavir shemnis, but one is allowed to remove fats. So a distinction was made by Reb Yehuda Omar Shmuel, as we just illustrated. The diamonds are introducing Alma Omar S. Dvarov. Regarding what did Reb Yehuda Omar Shmuel focus his comment? So that when we see in the Gemara the bow tie, we have Roman numeral number 1, Al Divrei Rav Huna, Reisha Osefa. Rav Huna will appear in the Gemara making a comment that has a beginning section, a beginning phrase, and an end phrase. That's the Reisha and Seifa. So Rav Huna has a comment that he makes, and as we said, there's a Reisha and a Seifa to his comment. Regarding Rav Huna's comment, either the Reisha or the Seifa, we have the statement made by Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, the distinction that Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel made. So one possibility is that Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel's distinction was focused on either the Reisha or the Seifa of Rav Huna's din. Roman numeral number 2, Oy al Mishnah Seinu, Reisha o Seifa, or Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel's din was a comment on either the Reisha or the Seifa of our Mishnah. Our hope is that we mapped out the sugya for you. Once again, Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel has a comment, and what's unclear initially is what is his comment made on, referring to what is his comment made. Hopefully, when we get into the Gemara, this will become much clearer. So the sugya was very well structured. We continue now. Rav Huna comments on the Mishnah, and he says, Lo shanu elo b'mashchezes shel evin. The Mishnah said, Ein mashchizin. One is not allowed to sharpen knives on Yom Tov. So Rav Huna says that restriction is only if you're using a stone sharpener, which was the standard, normal way of sharpening knives. Avol b'mashchezes shel eitz mutter, but a wooden sharpener, that would be okay. So that's what we call the Seifa of Rav Huna. The Reisha of Rav Huna is the comment not to use the stone sharpener. The Seifa is the use of a wooden sharpener. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Ha di'amris shel evin asur. That which Rav Huna says that the stone sharpener is forbidden, Lo amoron elo lechadida, the stone sharpener is usur only if your intention of rubbing the knife along the stone is to sharpen the knife. Avolahavir shamnu nisa mutar. But to rub a knife on a stone with the intention of removing accumulated fats that are on the knife, that would be okay. So as far as Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is concerned, a stone sharpener is not totally out of the picture. It's out of the picture, it's forbidden only if your intention is to sharpen a knife. But the use of a stone is allowed if your intention is simply to remove accumulated fats. We can infer from this, Michlal de Bishal Eitz, if you're dealing with a wooden sharpener, afilu lechadado nami mutar. One would be able to sharpen his knife on a block of wood as well. In other words, even sharpening, which is a more prohibited type activity, but if you're going to be using a wooden block for that purpose, that would be okay. Iko demasni lo asefa. There are those that apply Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's teaching to the Seifa of Rav Huna, in which Rav Huna said, "Bishel Eitz Mutar." The use of a wooden sharpener is allowed. Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, "Ha Diarmis Bishel Eitz Mutar, Lo Amoranelo Lahavir Shamnu Nisa." The use of the wooden block for the knife is only if your intention is to remove accumulated fats. But if your intention in using the wooden block for the knife is to sharpen the knife, that would be forbidden. So even though you're using a somewhat unusual material for the knife, you cannot use it for the act of sharpening. Michlal, we could infer from this, the Bishel Evan, that when it comes to a wooden sharpener, afilu lahavir shamnu nisa aser, even for the purpose of simply removing fats, which is itself a very, a seemingly innocent action, but you're using the standard sharpening device for the innocent action, that would be prohibited. So we have two lishonos of what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's comment was going on, either on the resha of Rav Huna or on the seifa of Rav Huna. If you apply Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's comment to the seifa of Rav Huna, you come out with a very restrictive approach to things. In the final analysis, three of the four possibilities would be usur. Namely, when we speak about three of the four possibilities, you have two possibilities for under the stone sharpener and two possibilities under the knife sharpener. The two possibilities are sharpening versus fat removal. But if you follow the second approach taken over here, the result would be that stone use totally forbidden, even for mere removal of fat, and wooden sharpener allowed only for removal of fat and not for sharpening. At this point, we come to a second version of this sugya. Again, noticing Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel makes a comment, and the issue is, what is his comment focused on? So, Iko demasni lo amasnisin. There are those that apply his teaching to the Mishnah. We saw in our Mishnah, Ein mashchizin es hasakin biyontov. And the Mishnah went on to say, Avo masia gabi chaverta. So the ratio of the Mishnah is, Ein mashchizin es hasakin biyontov. One is not allowed to sharpen a knife on yontov. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, lo shanu elo lechadadab. The action of mashchizin, which involves rubbing the knife, this is forbidden only if your intention is to sharpen it. Avalahavir Shamnunisa Mutter. But for the purpose of removing fat, so you can do the action of Hashchoza. Now again, Hashchoza might loosely translate into sharpening, but it's an action. It's rubbing the knife on a device or on a substance. The question is, what are you rubbing it for? So if you're doing the action for sharpening, it's usur. If you're doing that same action but for fat removal, it's okay. Michlal, we can infer from this, the algabi chaverta, the action of rubbing two knives one on the other, which is a more unusual, a more peculiar action, then that's afilu lechadido nami mutter. Of course, all of this is taking place on Yom Tov, that goes without saying. And as we said earlier, we're striving to do things on Yom Tov differently than you would do during the weekday. So if you're going to be masi al gabi chaverta, rub one knife on the other, then even if your intention is for sharpening, it's okay. V'ika demasni lo asefa. And there are those that teach Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel's din on the seifa of our Mishnah. And it said in the seifa, the second phrase of the Mishnah, avo masi al gabi chaverta. That's rubbing one knife on the other. Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, lo shanu elo lahavir shamnu nisa. The action of al gabi chaverta, one knife on the other, is only if your intention is for removing the fats. Avo lechadida osir, but to sharpen the knife that way, even though it's an unusual action, but since it's Yom Tov, it's forbidden. Michlal de bemashcheses, we can infer from here that using a formal sharpening device, afilu lavir shamnu nisa aser, even if all your intention is the innocent activity of fat removal, that nevertheless would be prohibited. Man tana de bemashcheses aser, which tana prohibits the use of a mashcheses, of a sharpening device? Amar Rav Chisda de lo kributa. This approach, this restrictive approach, would be unlike the opinion of the tana rebuta de sanya. The Tanaic source says, ein bein yom tov l'shabbos elo oichel nefesh bilvad. The only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov in terms of what is allowed to be done and what is not allowed to be done is within the realm of Oichol Nefesh. Otherwise, all other malachos are treated the same vis-a-vis Shabbos and Yom Tov. When it comes to Oichol Nefesh, the act of food preparation, for example, baking and cooking, there you find a difference. On Yom Tov it's allowed, and on Shabbos it's not. Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshirei oichal nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda allows more than direct food preparation, but even preparing the utensils needed for food preparation would be allowed on Yom Tov. So that's the term machshirei oichal nefesh. And if you need a knife to be sharpened, then go ahead and do it. And Rabbi Yehuda darshins the pasuk to justify his position. Amar le Rava le Rav Chisda, darshinan mishimcha. Rava turns to Rav Chisda and says, "It's been taught in your name, halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda." A lenient ruling. Pasking like Rav Yehuda allows even machshirei ochel nefesh to be done on Yom Tov. Amar le, Rav Chisda in reaction says, Yehei ra'avah, in Hebrew you would say Yehi ratzon. It means it should be the will of the Almighty, dechol ki hani mili ma'al yisah, that all similar wonderful teachings, tidrashun mishamoy, should be said in my name. Rashi, at the bottom line, points out the pasuk that we referred to earlier, where the Torah says that everything that's done l'chol nefesh ye'oseh lochem. And we say, we darshan, Rabbi Yehuda darshans that, l'chol tzorcheichem, whatever you need to do with regard to food preparation, even if it means preparing the utensils needed for food preparation, that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. The triangle is featured, and on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we see the triangle, two Maisim, Shel Hashchozes Sakin, two stories, very similar stories, just the names change, two stories involving knife sharpening, Shel Orotz Laharos Kein Barabim, where, you see, they didn't want to publicize this in public. They didn't want to rule like that in public. In other words, there are situations in halacha where something is allowed by letter of the law, but we don't want to rule thusly publicly. And that might involve certain societal considerations where you might find a community that is very lax in their Torah observance. So we don't want to rule points of law that they will misconstrue and extend leniencies to other areas that are in fact not allowed. Omar Rav Nechemya Brei Rav Yosef. So this is the first incident, bottom line of our Gemara. Rav Nechemya Brei Rav Yosef says, Have ko'imno kamei de Rava. I was standing in the presence of Rava. V'have ko, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Ma'avir l'sakina apuma de dikulap. Of course, we're talking about a story taking place on Yom Tov, and he was passing a knife, he was rubbing a knife over the edge. Puma is the mouth or the edge of dikula, of a basket, a sal. The Amri lay, and I asked him, L'chadda ka'ovid mor o la'avir shamnu nisa? Is your intention to sharpen the knife or to remove the fats? The Amali, and he said to me, "La'avir shamnu nisa." Oh, I'm just doing this to remove the fats. The chazisi ledaite de lechadda ka'avid, and I noticed that his real intention was to sharpen it. The kosavar, and he was figuring that means that Rava, in not answering me directly, he figured halacha v'ein morin kain, that it is true. You're allowed to rub the knife on the edge of a basket with sharpening intentions, but you're not allowed to rule thusly to others. So he didn't want to say that he was doing it for sharpening purposes. That might have come into the realm of Morin Kane, of publicizing that, that even that would be allowed. The Omar Abaye, very similar story, same incident with different names. He says, Havikudno kame de Mor. I was standing in the presence of Mor. Mor in the Shas when Abaye is speaking is probably Rabba Bar Nachmeni. Havikomavir sakino asfosa de Rechaya. Here there's a difference in the incident in that he wasn't rubbing it on a basket, but rather on the at the edge of a grindstone. The Amri lay, and I asked Rabba, l'chadda koboi mor, o la'avir shamnu nisa. Are you rubbing it on the edge of a rechaya, as we said, a grindstone? Are you doing this for sharpening purposes or for removing accumulated fats? V'yomar li, and he told me, la'avir shamnu nisa. I'm doing it simply to remove the fats, which, as we explained before, is a more innocent type activity. V'chazisi l'daite, but I noticed that his true intention was the l'chadda ka'avid. He was doing it to sharpen the knife. The Kosovar, but he figured he was of the opinion halacha the ain morin kain, that in by letter of the law it is mutter to sharpen the knife in that fashion. However, it is not to be taught to others; it's not to be ruled thusly to others. As we go on in the Gemara, we deal with other aspects of knives on Yom Tov. And just a word of introduction before we read the Gemara's question, and that is that a shochet, someone who is going to be a slaughterer of animals for kosher consumption, there is a practice of his showing his knife. The knife must be absolutely notch free, an absolutely smooth edge to the blade. And the practice was to show it to the local rabbi before he starts his shechita, before he starts his slaughtering. When you see this issue dealt with in halacha, basically it's at the beginning of his shechet career. It was the practice to bestow honor to the local rabbinic authority, and that was done through his showing of his knife to the local rabbi. A shechet who proceeds to slaughter, he's doing that obviously for commercial purposes. He's not slaughtering many animals a day for his personal use. So the action of showing his knife to the chacham might create a type of, we'll say, business or commercial impression, which we referred to before as uvda, the chol, weekday type behavior, and this is something we try to avoid on Yom Tov. So the Gemara starts. Ibai aloho, mal laharos sakin lechacham biyom tov. Can the slaughterer show his knife to the chacham? Of course, in the context that we spoke earlier, can he show that to the local rabbinic figure on Yom Tov? Rav Mori brei de Rav Bizna shori. Rav Mori allows it. V'rabbonon asri, and the rabbonon forbid it. Rav Yosef Omar, Talmud Chacham, Roya Liatzmoi, Umashilo Lachirim. Rashi says, Roya Liatzmo, Beveso, Sakin Shiloi. The Chacham can check out his own personal slaughtering knife. And Rashi says, Delo Avshimel, so that doesn't create a lot of noise. And then it can be loaned to others. The Omar of Yosef, Sakin She'omda, Mutter L'chadudu B'yom Tov. A knife, She'omda. Rashi says, She'omda Mecharifus Shela, She'eno Choyteches Yofe, Avoloi Nifgema. It's a knife that has become dull, but no notch has developed. So a knife like that, that's dull, but it's still smooth, it's mutter to sharpen that on Yom Tov. Rashi says, mutter l'chadad of Yom Tov, v'afagav d'mei esmoil u'mishil sham hischilu l'kalke v'leilech, even though its dullness set in yesterday, 2 days ago, even though that was the case, d'loha v'leila suki adaite mei esmoil. We in halacha don't expect it to have occurred to him yesterday that he must go ahead and sharpen it. The sovar lo tsarichna, he figured, I'm not going to need it. Avol nifkemo me esmol, however, if it developed a notch from the day before Yom Tov, as opposed to simple dullness, but an actual notch, lo havishori, that we would not allow. Rav Yosef wouldn't allow sharpening a knife that was notched from the day before. The mukha kilkul shala, that is an obvious deficiency. V'havilei lemevad mesmol, that's something he should have done from before Yom Tov and not waited till Yom Tov itself. The Gemara continues. After Rav Yosef says that a knife that became dull, you can sharpen it up. Avin Yontov, v'hani mili de poska agav duchako. That means that the poska means it still cuts, but with duchako, with extra effort. But if it doesn't cut at all, it's totally dull, then it's also to sharpen it up, because that's considered, as Rashi says, tircha yisera, that's extra exertion, and we avoid that as well on Yom Tov. So all in all, Rav Yosef is telling us a knife that's dull but still cuts, one is allowed to sharpen it, and however, a knife that developed a notch in it from before Yom Tov, and hence it's not fit for shechita, you can't use it for slaughtering, that is not allowed to be sharpened on Yom Tov, sharpened with the intention of removing the notch through the sharpening activity. And likewise, a knife that has become so dull that it doesn't cut, even though it might still be smooth, that too is not allowed to be sharpened up on Yom Tov. We continue in the Gemara. Dorash Rav Chisda Vitema Rav Yosef Echod Sakin Shenifkema V'Echod Shpud Shenirtzam V'Echod Greifas Tanur V'Kirayim B'Yom Tov. We'll go over these points. Rav Chisda teaches as follows: whether it be a sakin, the aleph was sakin shenifgema, a knife that developed a notch in it. A shpud is a spit upon which you roast meat. And the shpud shenirtzam, this was the base halacha, is the tip of the spit broke. And the number Gimel Halacha was Grefas Tana V'Kirayim. This is an action of scraping out some plaster that fell into it. And he didn't know about this from before Yom Tov. With the plaster coating that lines the inside of the oven, with it having fallen, the plaster lining fell into the oven, so it now becomes useless. Can you clean it out? Can you scrape it out on Yom Tov? So we have these three points: the sharpening of a notched knife, the repair of a spit whose tip broke, or the scraping out of the tanur of the kiram, is another type of baking unit, another cooking baking unit. This is a Tanaic controversy. Can you do this on Yom Tov? And we saw this before. Bonu l'machlokis, we've arrived at the controversy between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Desanya, the source tells us, ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos el oichel nefesh bolvad. The difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is manifest only with regard to malachos that are needed for direct food preparation. Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshirei oichel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda allows even the preparing of utensils needed for food preparation. And therefore, the three points mentioned before, the knife sharpening to remove the notch, and of course, this is, it would seem from the context of the Gemara and the Rashi we saw before, that he discovers this on Yom Tov, or maybe it became notched on Yom Tov. That's already a question of how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in his leniency. And there's more on that topic as we go ahead in the Gemara. You'll see how Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, has that limitation, that it's not something that could have been tended to from before Yom Tov. So the Gemara now asks, "My time of the Tanakama? What is the basis of the Tanakama, who is restrictive in the sense that only direct food preparation is allowed, but not the preparing of the utensils needed for the food preparation. So what is the basis of the Tanakama? Omar Kro, Hu Levado Yeose Lochem. And we learn from here Hu, that is a reference to the actual food preparation. That's Hu is a limitation expression. Hu, it alone, the Lo Machshirov, and not the preparation of vessels needed for the food preparation. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kro, and Rabbi Yehuda says, the Pasuk says, Lochem. Lochem, Lechol Tzorchechem. That tells me, for all your needs. Even that that Yom Tov is allowed, the laws of Malach, if you will, are compromised with regard to food preparation and all that it entails. Meaning, even the preparation of vessels needed for the food preparation come under the heter of Oichel Nefesh. the Tanakama Hoksiv Lochem. Well, what does the Tanakama do with the Lochem expression that Rabbi Yehuda used for his source? Omar Loch, the Tanakama, the first opinion, will tell you, Hahu Lochem equals Velo Lenochrim. The Torah allows you to cook and bake for you, for the Jewish people, and not for idol worshippers. Of course, on Yom Tov. The Idach, Nami Hoksiv Hu. Rabbi Yehuda, how does he deal with the word Hu? We said before Hu was restrictive, so what does he learn from that? Omar Loch, Rabbi Yehuda will answer, Ksiv Hu, Ksiv Lochem. You've got on the one hand Hu, which is restrictive, which is limiting, and you've got the Lochem, which is expansive. Velo Kashya, and there's no difficulty. Kan b'machshirim shev shel asosim erev yom tov. Kan b'machshirim shev shel asosim erev yom tov. If you're dealing with machshirim that one could have prepared from before yom tov, so then the Torah does not allow you to do that on yom tov. There are machshirim shev shel asosim erev yom tov, matters of utensil or vessel. Repairing or preparation that you couldn't have done before Yom Tov, that you are allowed to do on Yom Tov. Now, so as we said before, if the problem arose before Yom Tov, so even Rabbi Yehuda, who is lenient with regard to allowing machshirei oichel nefesh, he won't allow that, the machshirei oichel nefesh heter, on things that could have been done from before Yom Tov. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, the house shape, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, this represents Memros, Shel Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Beinyan Shpud B'Yom Tov. These are comments made by Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel in the context of a Shpud, a spit used for roasting meat, and it's how it relates to Yom Tov, as will be explained in the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Shpud Shenir Tzaf Osur L'Sakna B'Yom Tov. A spit that bent out of shape, but it's not broken. You cannot repair it on Yom Tov, because it's useful as it is. Pshita, that would appear to be obvious. Lo, tzricho, no, it is necessary to be taught, the afagav de mafshit biyodei, even though you can straighten it out manually, without the need of using a hammer or some other device. But even though it can be straightened out manually, still leave it as it is, because it's useful as it is. The Omar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Shpud Shitsolu Bo Basar, a spit that was used on Yom Tov for roasting meat, and now you finished using it. Osur L'Taltalo B'Yom Tov, one cannot move it around after having roasted the meat. And Rashi adds, because it's Nim'as, it's disgusting, and thereby being called Muktzah. And whatever tzorech Yom Tov has been done, that's finished. So you can't move it around under the heading of it being classified as muktzah. Rav Ado bar Ahavo, Omar Rav Malchio. Rav Ado, quoting Rav Malchio, tells us, Shomto umanichoi bekeren zovis. Rashi says, Shomto manichoi bekeren zovis. Rashi right across from here says, Shomto milafon of maher. Begreiro v'tiltum minatzad. Shomto literally means you drop it in front of you immediately, but it means you relinquish it immediately through greiro. Greiro is to drag it. V'tiltum minatzad is a type of, we'll call it, movement through a shinui, through the unusual, moving it in an unusual fashion. Ad she'avir milafonov the keren zovis. Until you kick it, so to speak, kick it into a corner, avolo tiltu gomor. But we're not allowing formal standard movement. Omer of Chiyo Barashi, Omer Rav Huna, v'hu shiyesh olav kizayas bosar. he further qualifies the matter and says that that is true only if it has an olive quantity of meat still on it. Ravina Omar afal pi she'ein olav basar mutar l'tatalo, even if it doesn't have this olive quantity of meat on it, it is mutar to move it. Midi dehavi akoitz birshus harabim. Now, when Ravina says, even without the basar on it, it's mutar l'tatalo, Rashi has a slightly different word, but it seems to be the same point. Shori l'tatalo tiltule, betiltul gomor. And this is in contrast to what we saw just before of Shomta Nichol Karen Zavis. He is telling you, you can move it in the normal way, l'salkoi, and remove it from where it is. Shelo yazuku bo'anshi beis, so people of the house shouldn't get hurt on it. Now this idea of, we'll say, being lenient in tiltul has a precedent in the case of the koitz b'rishus harabim. The Gemara does not elaborate, but Rashi explains, across Rashi says, midi dahave akoitz b'rishus harabim, de'omar perakirish tzikua, as it says in the third parak of Maseches Shabbos, which is called Kirosh Shisikua, that's the name of the parak, de'mutur leholicha pochos pochos midalad amos, that it's mutter to carry a coat, is a thorn found in a public thoroughfare, as long as you carry it less than four amos at each time, ad shemisalkenu l'tzidir rishus harabim, until you move the coats out of the public thoroughfare to the sides of the public thoroughfare, where people won't get hurt on it, kedei shelo tazik. So that even though there is an Isur of moving things less, an Isur not Doraisa, but there is a restriction on moving things in general less than four amos in Rishus Rabim. It's not something that we look upon favorably, but for the purpose of protecting the public from damage, we allow that, we compromise on that. Likewise, with regard to Tiltul Mukta, which is something that is rabbinically restricted, but for the purpose of keeping people from injury, we compromise on that and we allow Tiltul Gomor. So you can see there's a parallel between the din of Koitz B'Rishus HaRabim, where we have a level of compromise in halachas of movement, and the reason being Kedei Shelo Tazik. Likewise, with regard to the Shpud, after you finished its use, it's a sharp utensil, could hurt people, so you are allowed to move it in a direct fashion, in a normal fashion, and leave it in a corner where no one will get hurt. The next few lines of Gemara are involved with the issue of authorship. That's a very general statement. We have diamonds highlighting two names. You have Rav Chinina and Rav Papa. Six halachas will be presented, but only by their titles. That's why you can see we have numberings, two sets of three are numbered off. Each word represents a halacha. In Gemara markings, we advocate very highly learning the Shas and all of the Shas. Hence, we're not going to pause to explain each one of the halachas that are mentioned here, other than that which is absolutely necessary for our immediate understanding. All we have to note is that they are titles of six different halachas. The question is, who is the author of these halachas, or who commented on these topics? Only two choices in this discussion, and they are Rav Malchiyo, and you have another name very similar, but he's a different person. His name is Rav Malchiyo. Some of these halachas, we have six halachas, we'll see a little bit later in the Gemara, some of these halachas are independent Amoraic teachings that we call Shmaitza. And some of these halachas are comments that are based on information found in Mishnayos. In other words, they have a Tanaic basis. The issue dealt with in this little piece of Gemara is between Rav Malchiyo versus Rav Malchiyo, who said what? So first we have Rav Chinuno's version. Amar Rav Chinuno Brei de Rav Ika. Shpud Shvachos Vegumos. Now, the connection to our Gemara, if anyone was wondering what's it doing here, is because one of the halachas dealt with was the issue of the shpud, the spit that was used, and what do you do with it afterwards on Yom Tov. That should be no mystery to us. We just saw this referred to a few lines before, and we dashed underline Rav Malchiyo's name right over there. So, the halacha of shpud, the halacha of shvachas, which is another topic, and gumos, a third topic, those were topics dealt with by Rav Malchiyo. Three more halachas, bloiris efer makle ugevina. Those are topics that were dealt with by Rav Malchiyo. Rav Papa disagrees with Rav Chinuno's breakdown, and he tells me the following. Now, this might sound a bit cryptic, but we'll try to make it clear as we go on in the Gemara. Rav Papa says, Masnisen u'masnisa equals Rav Malchiyo. The halachas mentioned here that have a Tanaic basis for them, and the Amora simply commented on it, those halachas with their Tanaic basis were dealt with by Rav Malchiyo. And it just so happens that the din that we entitled Shvachos was the dashed underlined word two lines above, that is a din that has a Tanaic basis. So according to Rav Papa, that would have been authored by Rav Malchiyo. The Gemara will point this out in a minute. And that is where Rav Papa differs with Rav Chinuno, who had the din of Shvachos authored by Rav Malchiyo. So Rav Papa tells us that Masnisun Masnisa, Rav Malchiyo. Shmaitza, those halachas that were purely Amoraic in origin, Rav Malchiyo. V'simonech, in order to remember Rav Papa's breakdown, Masnisin Malkisa. If I'm not mistaken, I've seen elsewhere a girsa that says Masnisa Malkisa. But the idea in this simon is, and you can see Rashi makes an allusion to this as well, three lines from the bottom, in the middle of the line, D'chol Masnisin U'Masnisa, D'isbehu, Rav, that any of these halachas that have a Tanaic connection, Rav Malchiyo Omar Pirushon, Rav Malchiyo dealt with them. Aval Shmaitza, the Amris, but Rav Malchiyo, Kigon Shpud V'Gumos, Didei Ninhu. The cases of Shpud and Gumos are purely rabbinic, purely Amoraic in origin. As you can see in this Gemara, Shpud was mentioned in its own context, not as something coming from the Mishnah. The Gemara now points out what we alluded to before. After learning Rav Papa's the Simen, we said Masnisa Malkisa, and the term Masnisin is a reference to Tanaic literature. Malkisa reminds you of the idea of kingship. It could be that relative to Amoraim, so the Masnisa and the Tanoim were on a higher level. They were like kings. And the name of Malchiyo sounds like Malkisa. And that enables you to make the connection that the points that were Tanaic in origin, according to Rav Papa, those were dealt with by Rav Malchiyo. My Binayu, what is the difference between Rav Chinuno's approach and Rav Papa's approach? So we're going to present this Gemara according to one of two pshatim that one will find in the Tosfos. And the second pshat simply is that in the list of three items that Rav Chinuno had under the name of Malchio, one of those three items, namely Shvachos, was Tanaic in origin. So you'll move Shvachos from Rav Malchio, again, according to Rav Papa, you would then take Shvachos from the Rav Malchio side and put it on the list of things that were Mishnaic in origin, and hence, according to Rav Papa, Shvachos is not authored by Rav Malchio, but rather by Rav Malchio. So that according to what we just said, in effect, four halachas would have been authored by Rav Malchio, namely, in addition to Bloiris, Afir, Makle, and Vina, we will be adding Shvachos, leaving, according to Rav Papa, Rav Malchio with Shpud and Gumos. The Mishnah. Lo yoimar adam letaboch. One should not say to the butcher, Shkoil li bedinor basar. Weigh out for me a dinar. Dinar is an amount of money. It's like saying, give me a dollar's worth of meat. Avol shochet umechalek beinehem. Rashi says, what is allowed is that he'll slaughter the meat and without any money mention, divide it amongst the customers. The Gemara asks, Heichi Ovid. Someone comes into a store, what should he do? He wants to buy just a small amount of meat. Rashi says at the bottom, Heichi Ovid, Kishe'eno rotze likach kol ha-behema, v'lo mechza, v'lo shlish, v'lo revia. Someone comes and doesn't want to buy an entire animal, not half, not a third, not a quarter. Ela bedina ro b'shnayim, ma yomar lo. What should he do? See, if you are interested in getting a whole animal, so without making any money mention, it's very easy. You say, can you slaughter for me this animal and take the animal? And we saw in a previous Mishnah that you would then pay after Yom Tov the value of an equivalent animal after Yom Tov. But in this case, where he wants only a small portion, what should he do? The Gemara answers, Ki ha de Besura, we're at the top of Chof Tesom and Aleph. The next couple of lines have names underlined. They're names of places. And before we actually read the Gemara, we'll look at the Rashi. At the top of Chof Tesom and Aleph, Rashi occupies both columns, so beware of that. We're looking right now in what we call the standard Rashi column. At the top of the page, Besura Amri, Darkon, their way, the way, their practice in Surah, Lomar letaboch, they would tell the butcher, Tainli tarto oplag palat tarto, Benarish is another place we'll see in the Gemara, Amri chalko palat chalto, Pobediso Amri uzya, Kol hatabochin hoyu menasim bemusem beshove, Kach vikach nesochim min habema. There was standard butchering of animals, what we call today standard cuts of meat. In the different communities, the same cut of meat had different names. So the different names in the different communities refers to the same cut of meat. So if you're interested in just a small piece of meat, you go into the butcher shop and you ask, give me, you know, that kind of cut. And being that they were standard cuts, it would be clear what the customer wants. And as you can see, no mention of money takes place. It might very well be then you'd have to connect this Mishnah and the Gemara with that which we saw back on Daf Chof Zayin, where if you want to know how much to pay after Yom Tov, you would bring you before. The animal is slaughtered, from which you're going to get your portion. Another animal that will not be slaughtered was put side by side, and it was acknowledged they were of equal size, and you would then get the portion that you ordered, as the Gemara mentions. And after Yom Tov, the animal that remained alive would be brought on the scene, and you would ask how much is the value of this animal's, let's say, shoulder, this animal's thigh. Now, we'll just read what we saw in the Rashi, read it in the words of the Gemara. These are different communities with their with references to different cuts of meat, but in each case it's the same cut of meat, but in each community having a different name. Different name for the same thing. The Besura Amri Tarka Upalgu Tarta. Benarish Amri Chalka Upalgu Chalka. Pabadiso Amri Uzia Upalgu Uzia. Benarpakod Vamasa Mechasya Amri Riva Upalgu Riva. The words palga that you see from time to time are a reference to half of whatever. And riva would mean a quarter, or a palga riva would be half of a quarter, an eighth of whatever. The main point, just to review, the main point is that you can still get your meat, even if it's a small quantity, without mentioning money. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.